patience in that. I'm going to look at a very familiar psalm this morning, the very first psalm. Probably a psalm that all of you, or most of you, know by memory. My key verse or theme verse is verse 3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I believe I'll read the whole psalm this time. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor the sinner in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. It says that it's blessing the man that delights in the law of the Lord. And it says he shall be like a tree. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. When we think of something that's a tree and a planted tree. We think of something that has a root, that has stability. It isn't easily moved. And it's not only not easily moved, it helps to stabilize the soil around it. But there are things that hinder deep roots. And we'd like to look at a few of those and take them from the first verse here. And there's this characteristic of plants. It's a law of God. It's called gravitropism or geotropism. I'm not guaranteeing I'm pronouncing those exactly right. But it's the characteristic that roots grow down and plant matter grows up in the same plant. And that's characteristic in pretty much all of the plant life. Is in the same organism, the root matter goes down and the plant matter goes up. That's a law of God. And it causes it to go deep. You know, and I think what we see in these verses, he that walketh in the counsel of the ungodly or standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, is the root system is trying to stay to the surface. It's trying to collect from the surface instead of going deep. And we know that as the roots stay shallow, you can tell a plant when the roots are shallow, when they don't go deep. It affects the plant. It's a progression that works against growth. It's not the way God intends. Walking in the counsel of the ungodly. How would we walk in the counsel of the ungodly? And I think what we see here in these three things it mentions, the walking in the counsel of the ungodly, standing in the way of sinners, and sitting in the seat of the scornful is a progression. Now, how do we get our advice for living? Where do we go to for counsel? You know, if we have a problem with an appliance, we probably go to the appliance store or call Sears to come out and repair the appliance. Or if we have a problem with a vehicle, some of you can probably fix it yourself, but I can't seem to do that. And so I find somebody that can fix it. Or maybe tell me how to fix it. If ladies are going to prepare a meal, they'll find a cookbook for their counsel. I think we know we're looking at deeper areas of life. We're looking at harder questions than that here. How do I raise my family for God? How do I... what do I use for family worship? How do we maintain a godly order in the home? And where do we go when we need counsel for the deeper issues of life? How can I deal with this sin? How can I get victory over my sin? Where do we go? What kind of books do we go to? Where do we get our counsel? If the counsel we're getting is not based on God's Word and its principles, we're going to find ourselves into the next step. We're going to be standing in the way of sinners. Proverbs 4:4 says, "Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away." This idea of standing in the way of sinners. If we're feeding our information system on the world's theories, the world's or ungodly advice, it's going to take us to ungodly associations. And we cannot expect to stand with sinners and not become one of them. Become active in this association. The way of sinners, the way sinners walk. A few characteristics of it. It's without a master. They are their own master. I am self as the master. And it's without purpose. Rather than a purpose for God, it's wherever the flesh leads. And it's without accountability. It's the idea that what people don't know doesn't hurt them. And that takes us to the next step. Sitting in the seat of the scornful. Now, if you're sitting in the seat of the scornful, what are you? If you're sitting and you think of a courtroom, if you're sitting in the judge's seat, you're the judge, right? If you're sitting in the jury box, you're the jury. And if you're sitting on the witness chair, you're the witness. And if you're sitting in the scornful seat of the scornful, what are you? You're the scornful. It doesn't just happen. We see it's a progression. And when we see ourselves in this seat, we wonder how we got there and what we're doing there. The scornful is the sinner that's still going to church. The scornful is the one that can't make practical applications from the Word of God for my own life. We need the church standards or the ministry to help us make those practical applications. The scornful is someone who can't be real, who carries a facade. And I think we see Jesus speaking, or Jesus' heart, and as he taught, there was one thing that Jesus had, I guess for lack of a better word, I'll use the word difficulty. There's something that Jesus had a real difficulty with, and it was the hypocrite. He was the scornful. He was the one that wasn't real. That thought they could walk in the council and stand with the sinner but not be the sinner. Then it goes on, his delight is in the law of the Lord. This is the water. This is the river of water. And as the tree is planted by the river of water, you don't notice the level of the river because of the tree drinking. Because there's so much more. There's an abundance flowing down the river. And I guess that's how it is sometimes when we're reading the Word of God. It just feels like we're missing so much as we're going. But there's enough there to sustain life. And the more we read, the more we get. Are our roots grounded in the Word of God? Do they go down and take of the Word? You know, devotional books and quotes and verse lists, even lesson helps sometimes. We try to let them take the place of simply drinking the Word of God. I think it's important that we actually drink deeply of the Word of God and not, you know, not all the Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction of righteousness. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And probably some of my favorite authors, a couple of them, there's others, but A.W. Tozer, I enjoy reading his books. I also enjoy reading John Koblenz's books. But that's not all inspiration of God. And doesn't take the place of reading the Word of God and drinking deeply and letting my roots go down into the Word of God. Planted by a river of water. And it's just not just planted by the river of water, but it has a purpose. And the purpose is to bear fruit. It bringeth forth his fruit in his season. And we looked at, Brother Steve read that passage, and I don't think I'm going to take the time to read more of it, but I'm going to refer to a few verses of conditions of producing fruit, and that's Christ's goal in us, we see in John chapter 15. One is pruning. In verse 2 and 3, both of those verses talk about that, being pruned. Hebrews 12 says, who God loves, he chastens. And it says in verse 3 that we're clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. We're clean through the word. And abiding in Christ. And this is using a little different analogy in John 15, where instead of being the tree, he's talking about the vine and we're the branches, and we know how a branch needs to be attached to the vine to have life. And we need to abide in Christ. And Christ's words abide in us. But following that same example of getting our nutrients, if we abide in Christ, the nutrients can come into our lives. If we're not abiding in Christ, we cannot receive the nutrients. And obedience. It talks about in verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. This is not only an act, it's a obedience of faith, obedience of life. Following, abiding in Christ is being true to the nature of Christ. Jesus said that you may bear much fruit. That's the goal. And what is the fruit? And we know those familiar verses in Galatians of the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. It's the opposite of walking after the flesh. And again, this isn't just an incident. None of this fruit is an incident or an opportunity to express fruit or making a conscious effort to, oh, I need to show love. I need to show joy right now. It's what comes out when we get bumped. And I believe for each of these fruits, Satan has a counterfeit that is self-serving. We think of love and Christ's teaching on these and Christ's example in these. You know, there's a lot in the talked about in the world about love. And we sang about love this morning, and it says love will bring us all together. But it's not just this happy family love. It's the love of God that's going to bring us all together. This love gives of Christ is even for our enemies and those that wrong us. Joy and inner happiness, peace, a rest of soul amid turmoil, long-suffering, taking wrongs again and again. This is closely related to forgiveness. Gentleness. You know, as men, we want to have power. We want to be known for our power. We want to be macho. The fruit of the Spirit is gentle. And it takes a strong man to be gentle when it is in his power to do much more. Maybe just a practical example of that. Fathers, do your children ever embarrass you? And we know that answer. No. How do we respond when our children embarrass us? Is that when we're gentle? It seems like that's when, I guess, this is my own test. That's when it's tempting to really make sure we get a hold of this thing. But what are we expressing? Is that gentleness? It's a manifestation of our own pride sometimes. Goodness. James 4:17, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Doing the right thing. And this is reminds me a little of the story of Desmond Doss. He did the right thing again and again and again. And just always did the right thing. And that's goodness. Faith. A condition of living in belief and not unbelief. Believing that God is, that God exists, that God is good, that God is true to His attributes. Meekness. Think of Moses. We also think of, I think of Paul and Peter, both in the New Testament. The difference after their conversion. Meek men. And it just comes through powerful apostles, but their love and care for the church. temperance. You know, temperance is important. To have some give. To have moderation. And remember, this isn't a list of spiritual gifts. This is the indicator of whether we're walking after the flesh or after the Spirit. Back to Psalm 1:3, the next phrase. His leaf also shall not wither. His leaf also shall not wither. You know, when we see a leaf wither on a plant, we immediately go for the water. And sometimes we're even successful in reviving a plant. But if that's our habit of raising plants, there's no way it's going to be producing to its potential. And that's the way it is for us. If we're only drinking from the Word of God when we're feeling dry, when our leaves are withering, and it's becoming obvious, we're not bearing to our potential. And might not even be bearing fruit. And we see the burden of Christ toward fruitlessness in a couple examples. One was a happening and the other was a parable. The first in Matthew 21 says, "And when he saw the fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon but leaves only. And he said unto it, Let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, How soon is this fig tree withered away?" We see Christ's burden toward fruitlessness. And also, in his teaching on repentance, Luke 13, verses 6-9, says, "And he spake this parable, A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down, why cumbereth it the ground? And he answered, said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down." And we see one time here that Christ, the first time there wasn't fruit, the tree was cursed. Another time it was given 4 years. But there finally was going to come an end where fruit was going to be required. There's a lot of other thoughts we could get from this lesson. Let's not just suppose that we can go on. And in the later days of our life, then it's time to bear fruit. If we drink deeply of the Word of God, we can't help but bear fruit. You know, there's a familiar verse in Jeremiah. Jeremiah 17, verse 9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" But the verses preceding that are actually parallel verses to this to Psalm 1. I'm going to read that. "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought." So even in the time of drought it has a green leaf. "Neither shall cease from yielding fruit." Says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" You know, we can judge ourselves. We can self-inspect our fruit. We can think we have green leaves and are bearing fruit. That's our deceitful heart. But if we're drinking deeply, we will. The next phrase. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And that's the prospering of God in our lives. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. The fact of life, it's a fact of life that winds blow. Trials come. They blow in different directions and different velocities, but winds blow. And the healthier the tree, the less likely it is going to be damaged. We know that dead limbs are especially vulnerable in windstorms. And I guess what sort of brought me to this passage was studying for Bible school, and I was studying into some of the shaping influences on our lives. And you know, we're a product of our environment. You know, you take those white bark pines up at the top of on the rim of Crater Lake, just gnarled old trees that withstood the elements for over 500 years. They're up there just year after year. And you won't get a white bark pine looking like that on the valley floor here. And so there's an element of truth that we become a product of our environment. But the deeper truth is that if we're grounded in the Word of God, our environment can't take that from us. The wind cannot blow away the ability to bear fruit. We might bear scars. We might be twisted. But it can't take away the ability to bear fruit. So what is the testimony of my life? Is it, as in Proverbs 24, it says, I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof. And the stone wall thereof was broken down. Is that the picture of my life, or is it as we read in Psalms? But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Let's have a closing song.